Amen. I'm going to start out with a question. What do you say to yourself when you stand in front of the mirror and look at your reflection? What do you see? What do you think or feel when you look in the mirror? You know, we all tend to wrestle with insecurities and things that kind of haunt us or things that we're reminded of in the past. We're in this message series called Identity Theft, where things of our world steal our identity or impact us in how we feel or think about ourselves or how we process things. And we tend to wrestle with insecurities about our appearance because we live in a society, that a culture that is obsessed with beauty. Advertising often shows these malnourished models demonstrating what we're supposed to look like. Beauty is a big business. $1.5 billion last year annually was spent in marketing of beauty. Americans spend nearly $25 million on cosmetics each year. That's why I don't wear much of a base anymore. I just don't want to spend the money. $2 billion on hair care products each and every year. $74 billion are spent on diet foods in North America. Now try and explain that to much of the world who is starving. Over 7 million people will have plastic surgery next year. Commercials used to show, I don't know now, I don't watch TV, but they show slim, fit, energetic people drinking beer on the beach, and supposedly the more beer you drink, the better your body gets. Sometimes it's easy to spot sources of insecurity in our thinking, other times not so much. You know, in 1959, a new girl moved in on the block. And this new girl became all the buzz. She was the ideal woman, if you will. Long legs, blonde hair, pretty smile, you name it. You know who I'm hinting at? Barbie. This image has been marketed to girls all around the world. Barbie produces an annual income of $1.5 billion a year. Athletes, actors, rich and famous, demonstrate lives that you and I are supposed to crave. There are so many examples out there that are prepackaged for us in magazines and TV shows and movies. And the message to us is we're all too short, too wrinkled, too heavy, not enough hair. We don't have the right tan. I'm also reminded when I was in school and wrestling, they had us purge to make weight. Whatever it meant to be strong, but as thin as you possibly can be. I can't tell you how many athletes that have been told, listen, you're too slow, you're too short, you'll never make the team, you'll never go on. Tell Danny Wood had that, would you please? There are people all around us that will tell us that we are not the right body type, we don't look the right way. I'm reminded all those people that were told they'll never make it in sports, they're in Hall of Fames. The body is the new temple. New religion. slowing aging, weight loss, plastic surgery. They could all help us just be more beautiful. There are countless idols that peddle this lie that equates our physical appearance. Somehow, our physical appearance is related to being happy and joyful and content. Never mind all these people that have all this plastic surgery and stuff, and that's never, ever enough. Today, we want to see from God's perspective. We want to look over the shoulder of Jesus, and we want to understand what it means to be created in God's image. Because if we chase after or long after all these lies in society and in our world, we will never be happy. We will always be longing to be someone or something else. And that, my friends, is identity theft. Our identity in Christ is being robbed. Before we go there, let's first pray. Father God, from an early age, we are told the way we're supposed to be and what we should look like and all these things. We buy into a lot of lies. And then we grow up not being happy with who you created us to be. What a sad state of affairs we are in our country that we allow our identity to be stolen by so many others. And then we think that's going to bring us joy if we were just thinner or had more hair or we were taller or we were more talented or whatever it is. And I'm reminded as I watch the news, all these people that seem to have it all together have so many problems. Because God, the only real joy, contentment, peace, and unfailing love, the only source of that is you. So Father, I pray that we would get our identity back in this area today. Help us not to be mugged by the mirror. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Jesus called our enemy, the devil, the father of lies, a thief who comes to kill, destroy, and steal. And it's evident from the beginning that is what's happening. When God created man and woman, they were called good. And God created them, he said, in his image. What did Adam and Eve look like? We have no idea. There's a reason why it didn't say Adam had a six-pack, 6'4", dark hair and ripped, okay? They were created in God's image. There's no prototypical person as a man or woman of what you're supposed to look like. God does not make us with cookie cutters, and God does not make trash. Each and every one of us have been made in his image. But the world chips away at that. Your appearance is by God's perfect design. And to think otherwise is idolatry. In chapter 2, verse 25 of Genesis, our original design was evident, which is nothing like today. Adam and Eve, or Adam and his wife, were both naked and they felt no shame. That is a profound thought to us. Hold on, they're walking around naked and they're not ashamed. In the beginning, the first couple walked with God. They did it in a buff, okay? And they thought nothing of it. Now, those of you who are closet nudists, I'm not inviting you to start taking it off, okay? But what is saying is God created man and woman in a certain way. There is nothing to be embarrassed about. There's nothing to be shameful about. It didn't tell us what they look like. But we have a tendency to fill in the blanks and begin to think what Adam and Eve must have looked like. We've done it with Jesus. There's all the velvet paintings of the blonde hair, blue eyes, Fabio-like stud from the Middle East. Adam and Eve were both naked and they felt no shame. How many of you could say that about yourself in front of a mirror? Tom, why are you winking at me? That's kind of creepy. Which reminds me that when we were giving speeches in high school, what did they tell us to do to give speeches? Try and picture people in their underwear. That is gross. Why are we doing that? The picture of creation is so different to what we see all around us due to what happened to the first identity theft. In the third chapter of Genesis, if you are able to, will you stand with me with the reading of God's word? This is Genesis 3, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say we must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." The devil replies, "You're not going to die. You won't die." He said to the woman, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to the husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. There are some of you here today that you're hiding from God. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." You may be seated. Now, we've all heard this passage ad nauseum, but there are things here that point to the beginning of identity theft. The devil appears for the first time, as we know, and begins to steer them towards doubting what God had told them. God didn't really say that, did he? This is the same thing that the devil and the world and all the lies that go through our mind are the same thing. That's not really the way it should be. God doesn't really say that, does he? The thief has been using the same tactic ever since. Whether we realize it or not, he still suggests the same things in our lives. There's those whispers. Come on, did God really say he loves you? Did he really say you're wonderfully made? You don't believe all that stuff in the Bible. That's for those closed-minded Christian bigots, right? Did he really say you're accepted and secure? If you are, why don't you feel that way when you stand in front of the mirror? You see, the reason why I tell you to take your thoughts captive on the battlefield of the mind between your ears is because all too often we give the devil the ability to slip things in our mind, and then we begin to run with them and act upon them. He whispers doubts in our mind, and then we run with them because we haven't trained up our mind to run things through the grid of God's word. The serpent got them to doubt God, God's love, and God's care for them. Satan is beginning to say, "God is holding out on you. You won't die. In fact, when you eat this fruit, your eyes will actually be opened. You get to be like God." You can be like God and know everything. To be like God and know everything comes with a cost. Identity theft began when Adam and Eve rejected being made in the image of God and choosing to bite into the enemy's lie. This is the first fill in the blank if you are that type of person that likes filling out the notes page. They ate the fruit that the enemy offered and immediately felt shame and distance from God. In many ways, you and I are doing the same thing that was done in the garden so long ago. We buy into lies. So the next time God came to walk with them in perfect fellowship, they hid in paradise. Because now they were ashamed of their own appearance. Same thing that the beauty industry preys on us now. If you buy this, if you take that, if you do this, if you just do these things, you will be accepted and your life will be a lot better. Last time I was at the barber, I said, when you cut my hair, I just want you to cut out the white hairs. Leave the brown ones. He said, Michael, that's getting hard to do. ID theft means that we embraced a distorted image rather than our own God-given image. That's why identity theft is. It's this continual thought you need to be or look like something different. Instead of finding peace and security in who God created you to be, it's always looking in the magazines or the people on TV. It's always trying to be something you are not. And the Bible calls that a simple thing, idolatry. He said, I made you. I don't make you. I don't make trash. You were created the way I wanted you to be. Don't buy into the lies. Which led Adam and Eve to shamefully cover themselves, something that had never been considered before their rebellion. Ever since that day, you and I cover ourselves too. We hide behind our fig leaves. Yeah, we put on smiles when we come to church. Yeah, when people greet us maybe on campus or something, we tell other people, oh, things are going great. Yeah, things are good. When in reality, if we're honest with ourselves, we're hiding behind our own fig leaves. We struggle with habits or poor thoughts. And we wonder in our minds, do people notice this thing about me? I think I'm hiding. I wonder, what are they thinking? Are those people back there whispering about me? We get insecure whether we admit to it or not. We go through life looking at distorted image, which create this unsatisfied view of who we should be. And when we do that, basically what we're doing is we're running farther from God because we're pursuing something we were never created to be. The trouble is the distorted image we create pulls us further and further and further from God. And then we seek out things in this world to make us happy or complete. You will never find anything in this world outside of Jesus Christ that will make you happy and complete. Can I get an amen from someone out there? ID theft, therefore, is trying to create ourselves in our own image and rejecting the original design created for us to be. Who told you being 30 pounds overweight, whatever that is? I mean, the world comes up with all these charts, the BMI index. My heart doctor tells me I'm 30 pounds overweight. Really? Now, I know I can shed some, but 30 pounds? These are man-made things. They've done studies. What's the perfect size of women? What's the perfect man look like? What a waste. So how do we combat the desire to be what we're not? How do we find contentment and just trust in God? With the time we have left, I want to share some principles to battle identity theft in the area of our physical appearances. Remember, God's word tells us that we have all we need, and in 1 Peter chapter 3, we've been given all we need as followers of Christ to have victorious life. So why is it then, as followers of Christ, we don't always feel victorious? Let me tell you this first thing. You're not a victim. You're a victor. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you are not a victim. Don't buy into the lie. It is critical to know what God says about you. to combat identity theft. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in His image, and anything outside of that thinking is idolatry. Yeah, maybe we could lose a little weight. Yeah, maybe we could be in better shape. There is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you what, chasing after this ideal stuff, we never get there. It's the same with money. You know, almost everyone who wins a lottery, it's 70%. Most of them are divorced within 5 years and broke. Bring that up to anyone and they say, yeah, but I'd like to win it once to give it a shot. Come on, we all do it. Do the same thing with our weight and our appearance. Yeah, but if it was 10 pounds, really, that's going to bring you happiness. Daily through prayer, meditation, reading, and fasting, we can grasp how wide, how deep, how long, and how high God's love is for us. But it's only through that source, God's Word and the Holy Spirit, will you ever find contentment in this world. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous and unfailing love, because that's what it is. Each and every one of us in this room want to be loved in a way that's unfailing. And we all carry bruises, we all carry scars, we all carry these things that hurt us and harm our walk and being vulnerable to God. What we want is unfailing love. There's only one type. And that's through the Son, Jesus Christ. And if you can grasp that intellectually, you are on the road to living it out as well. It is taking the thoughts captive in your mind that disagree with God's Word. That's why it's so critical to be reading your Bibles daily, to be memorizing it. The devil picks you off so easy if you're not in the Word. It's just too easy. Why? You've heard me say, we Christians leak. We forget. You have to be in the Word constantly to combat the things of this world. Paul said a couple weeks ago in our passage, to remember, to grasp the love of God is like rust. You want it to eat right through you. You want God's Word to be eaten through you. Because if you grasp what God says about you, you don't have to fret about looking just right or what others want you to be like. How do we do this? The Bible says to strip away the old and to put on the new. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's perfect will is. There's memorization. Father God, I am not going to be like everyone else. I want your word to transform me. The difference between people that call themselves Christ followers and never seem to get their life in order in the change is because they don't choose to buy in, to sell out to Jesus Christ. They have a superficial view of him. When I gave my life to Christ at 27, it was a train wreck after 3 felonies, sitting behind bars and getting in trouble. And I made a decision, I'm going to immerse myself in God's Word and it's going to eat its way through me. The guy who was voted most likely to die in prison in high school is now your pastor. Ha ha, Satan. You ain't get me anymore. And man, am I a train wreck. I need God's Word to change me daily. I don't want to be the old Michael. Aren't you done being miserable with having life not go the way you think it should? To feel lonely and defeated and not like who you are? Aren't you done with it? Well, if you are, God wrote you a love letter. It's called the Bible. Renew your mind. Toss out the lies. Don't buy into deception. Take thoughts captive. Don't own what others say of you, but own what God has created you to be. We must pursue the image of God that we are made in by asking the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us through His Word. Father God, what are you trying to tell me when I'm reading this Bible? How do I put this into action? What's that look like? Father, help me not to buy into the lies, to be married or dating. I got to do this or that or be this or that. Lord, lead me to the right person, because I've been pursuing all the wrong people and I'm not in your word, so it's a train wreck. I'm lonely and I have no one. You got to do this over and over. You have to run it through the grid of the mind. The next time you're in front of that mirror and it says, man, you're fat, that image. Oh, hold on, hold on. No, wait. No, that's not what God's word tells me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Run it through the grid. Take those thoughts captive. As long as you are alive, the devil will plant lies in your mind. You'll run with them. Why? It works. He sidetracks us daily. If you do not do this, you will always buy into the lies of the evil one, and you will stumble. If it doesn't match God's word, that's why you need to know it, reject it. A second principle of security in Christ is to see how God sees you. You have to see how God sees you. Each of us have met people in the world that the world would say, I guess, are worldly beautiful. Each of us have met those people. And sometimes the ugliest people you ever meet because of what's in their heart and what comes out of their mouth. I tell my kids that if you end up dating someone that's dating you for appearance, it's not going to go well. They better care what's in your heart. There are beautiful people out there, ugly people. Remember that advertisement a few years ago? Was it Dove? Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Don't hate your pastor because he's beautiful, okay? When God chose to reject Saul as king, he already had a successor in mind. Remember that? And he sent Samuel to go find the next king for Israel. And he said, listen, it's going to be one of the sons of Jesse. So if you remember the story, you read in your Bibles, all these sons of Jesse come before Samuel, and he's like, oh, it's got to be that big strapping guy right there. Nope, he ain't the one. One after another, these sons come before Jesse. He thinks, oh, this has got to be the one. No. Samuel says to Jesse, is this all your boys? No. David's out tending sheep. So here comes this runt compared to the other boys, stinking like sheep. God says he's the one. Samuel thought, this little guy? We all do this. We all make assumptions based on size, age, skin color. You know, I don't even believe in racism. I think it's just sin. How do you hate people because they look different? It's ridiculous. Our nation is so divided because of appearances. I'm sick of it. The devil's winning. It ought not be. Outward beauty is only skin deep, people, and we all know people that are ugly on the inside. We all make assumptions. Every human being is a child of God, and to reject someone because of their appearance is sin. When I was in high school, I was dating an African-American girl. She's just lovely. She's too good for me. And I didn't understand. I didn't understand racism, but I got to see it. My dad, he was pretty hot with me. My dad's not like that anymore. Christ has got a hold of his heart. But the way I was raised, I had a Native American friend. I had no idea. I just thought they were people. What Samuel learned that day was God sees differently than we do. And if we are to live for God, we must see as God sees. 1 Samuel 16:7, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You want to be a beautiful person? Fill your heart with God. Having a problem finding a spouse or a date? Could it be what lies in your heart? I'm so glad that Jennifer didn't meet me before Christ got a hold of my heart, because I was ugly. Inside and out. Real beauty from above is that which should come out of Christ's followers, which leads to God's glory. Beautiful people are the people you want to hang around, because they build you up. They build others up. They point to God. They encourage and equip you. You know how hard it is to find people in our society that are positive, point back to God, and build you up? Especially as a teenager, college student. To find people that are encouraging and to draw you back to God is a tough thing in our world, is it not? Because we're surrounded by people that say, you can't, you won't, you're not pretty enough. Beauty is skin deep, ugly goes all the way to the bone, amen? Don't see as a shallow, lost world sees, but see as a citizen of heaven, because if you belong to Jesus Christ, you're just passing through. We get new bodies up there anyway. You think we're going to worry about what our body looks like? Nah. In 1 Peter, we're told not to look at the outward beauty, but know that real beauty comes from within. Our thoughts and our words come out of either a submissive, loving heart, or a heart that is full of ignorance, hatred, or unbelief. When I see people and all the races and all the hatred, I see ignorant, unbelieving hearts that are not surrendered to Jesus Christ. Why is our nation so divided? Because it's based on focusing upon the outside and not the inside. Because what we've done is we've distorted the image of God. Every person has inherent value. The Bible never talks about godly hairstyles, godly jewelry, the perfect design of clothes. It does talk about modesty. It talks about in a way that the way we live should bring glory to God. I told my daughters from a young age, you will cover yourself. Because if you're drawing men who are drawn to looking at your body, you're bringing glory to yourself and not to God. I taught my boy from a young age, you know, I admire Daryl and Stephanie. They're boys, they're kids, all of them are servants. They're holding doors, they're serving people. See them out all around town always doing neat things. They're bringing glory to God. I look at the Fisher daughters pointing to Jesus all the time. We got some great teenagers that love Jesus. Look at our Sunday school teachers, our trek leaders, the Hurleys, the Fishers. They're pouring in the young people. They're trying to get that distortion of the image out of their minds. Live in a way that brings glory to God. I thought it was really cool to get in fist fights and drink a ton of alcohol and tear things up. Sit behind bars enough times, you begin to think, this is probably not the best direction of life. And I thought I was big and bad. Boy, there was always someone behind bars that was badder. Third principle of security in Christ is to love only that which God wants us to love. God's law was summarized in one word, that is to love. We're supposed to love God first and to love his children, our neighbors, second. It's all about perspective. If you humble yourselves, okay, here we go. If you humble yourselves and serve other people, you won't be so caught up in the way you look. I used to take my kids at a young age to serve at the homeless shelter. I don't say this for my glory, it's for God's. But we used to cut hair, bring clothing, and serve them food. If you're on your knees clipping fingernails of a 90-year-old grandma at a retirement home, you're not worried about your hairstyle. Because your mind's in the right place, it's serving the Lord. Why do I want us as a church to go out and love people and serve? Because we have to get our mind off ourselves and to quit arguing with ourselves and to quit nitpicking and to quit doing these things. We need to be out loving. We need to bring glory to God. When my great-grandfather was getting very ill and old, he used to fall. Soil himself, and he couldn't take care of himself. He used to pick him up and wipe him off. He was a big, strong man his whole life. It's probably hard to be humbled. You know, when I was taking care of him, I wasn't worried about my appearance. You got to take our eyes off ourselves and put them on others. It's all about perspective. Serve the homeless, visit the shut-ins, love the unlovable, meet the needs of the lost, walk in their shoes a bit, and realize how well we have it. That kind of refocusing is loving God, serving Him by loving others, and not loving ourselves in vain ways. When you love God, when you love those God loves, it puts life into proper perspective. You think you have things bad, there's someone worse. Why don't you reach out and love them? To fully love those God loves, it means to love yourself, though. And know your great worth in Him. There are people here, you do not love yourself. If you were the only person alive, Jesus would have died for you. You have great value in God. Don't let the little liars in your head tell you otherwise. You have to love yourself. You know, ugly people tend to hate and ridicule others. They point out their faults. They gossip about differences. Those people tend not to love themselves, and it breaks my heart. It's so easy to point to other people and say they're doing wrong or they look wrong or whatever. Godly love says, man, how can I help you and walk alongside? What can I do for you? When you fail to love the one reflected in the mirror, you aren't able to love others as yourself. If you don't love yourself, get help, talk to a counselor, open up to a brother and sister in Christ, and start tearing off the chains of the identity theft that enslaves you. You have to love yourself. You were created in the image of God. You have great value. He loves you. He loves you so much, He sent a son to die for you. Hear me now, He has great plans for your life. To reach that potential, you have to surrender to Him. I know, I'm getting long-winded. The final principle in security in Christ is to reflect who God is and not mirror the world. I shouldn't even admit this. I forget to look in the mirror every morning. I get up and go. I bathe back in March. I'm good. I cut my hair so short so I don't even have to style it. My wife says my head's really ugly, or I would shave it bald. I used to. It'd be one less thing I got to deal with in the morning. That's a shout out to you, Tom. Know what God says. Know what God says about you. See what God sees. Love the ones that He loves, including yourself, then you will be able to reflect who God is. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's just the shape and size God needs it to be. My BMI index does not take into consideration who lives in me. Amen? Now, that means we should treat our body well. I'm not telling you to go out and smoke a carton of cigarettes and pound a bunch of Mountain Dew. It's okay to decorate your temple. But what is the purpose, young ladies? It's okay to decorate the temple, but are you trying to receive glory, or are you trying to point to Him? When we dress and carry ourselves in a way that invites others to worship our bodies, we are robbing God of worship. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Same goes to pastors. If we're standing up here to point at ourselves and not to share truth, which a lot of pulpits they do, and now they tell these really nice stories and not really much of the gospel. The Bible has a lot to say about those type of leaders. The way we dress, the way we carry ourselves in a way that invites others to worship our bodies, we're robbing the worship of God, and only God is due worship, not ourselves. That kind of focus is living idolatry. We're trying to replace God with our own image of ourself. When I was growing up, it was a Marlboro man. A tough, rugged cowboy that died of horrendous cancer. When we stop being mugged by the mirror and try to become more like Jesus, He says, I want you to reflect my glory to a watching world. God wants to do an extreme makeover in your life, a life of every believer, but unfortunately, sometimes we look more like a rundown shack. We don't see how He sees. We're not taking in enough of Him. We're not trusting Him. We're not believing we're made in His image. Take care of your temple. Use it to demonstrate that there is a God. Bring Him glory. The only way to truly do that is by living in His image and design. And by the way, until you are living in His image and by His design, you will never have peace, joy, and contentment in this world, because He created you for something. I ask people, what are you going to school for? Well, so and so. Is that what God wants? I don't know. It just seems right. Our God is not a God of confusion. He will tell you what you want to go to school for. He will tell you what He wants you to do with your life. You don't have to be confused. You can be as close to God as you want to be. The only way to live in His image is by His terms. The mirror was never meant to be the image bearer. That is the job of our Creator. Your security, your peace, your joy will only be found in Jesus. Let's pray.